Hello, welcome to another episode of the Drive Dallas Cowboys Addict. I am your host, Leo. Today I have a special guest with me, Alexander Morris. He is a Patriots fan, and we're going to talk Patriots football today. We'll see how it goes. All right, Alex, so tell us a little bit about yourself. Why are you a Patriots fan? And another question. Why are the Dallas Cowboys a better team than the Patriots?
Well, we know that America's team soon's going to be coming to Boston, baby. I mean, it's been a long time since when was the last Cowboys dynasty? The 80s?
95.
95, okay. I mean, I feel like we're coming up. It's been what, 17, 18 years?
Over 20.
First off, when I first moved to the United States, we settled in a little town called Hopedale, which is in Massachusetts. And it was 1986. The Red Sox were actually in the World Series championship. And as immigrants, my dad caught the fever, just Red Sox fever. And I got caught up in that. And it just went from there. Doug Flutie was a quarterback for the Patriots in 87. He was also a like hometown hero. He was the Boston College like set every record. It was crazy. And I had a cereal, Flutie Flakes. And so I was just a fan from then on. I would say that when I was younger, I was more of a Red Sox fan than I was a
Since
Patriots fan.
87?
87, 88, yeah. I mean, I was 4 or 5, so I can't reach back that far and with any certainty, but I can tell you I have been to the original Foxborough Stadium. Before,
Nice.
yeah, before Robert Kraft built the Gillette Stadium, so I have seen the Patriots play when Parcells was the coach, and
He led them to one Super Bowl, didn't he?
well, yeah, Bledsoe. That was Bledsoe. That was right before Bledsoe got his
That's the
massive
one they
contract.
lost, right?
Yeah, we didn't get lost. We got pancaked by Brett Favre and the Packers. They, ooh, I think they beat us like by 20 points or something like that. It was a ridiculous smashing. And then Bill Parcells betrayed us and went to the
He went to the
Jets.
Jets, yeah.
But yeah, so I've been a Patriots fan for a real long time. I remember being excited about Belichick taking over as coach. And I was watching. I remember the game when Bledsoe got hit. I was like, oh, we're done. So we just given him like a $100 million contract.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was he just signed something huge. And when he took that hit, I was like, that's it. That's the season. We just wasted. He's probably not going to come back. And he's going to spend the next year trying to get fit. Because, I mean, the hit was so hard, he was like coughing up blood or something. It like
Jesus.
pierced an organ of some sort. And then Tom Brady came out. And then me, like the rest of the world, got embraced in his love.
Yeah, you know, Tony and Tom Brady, that's what they have in common. They both replaced Bledsoe.
Did he replace
Yeah, they
Bledsoe?
both replaced Bledsoe,
Oh
yeah.
my God. That's a
So
fact
they
of the
have
day.
something in common, and now they're going to be in the same Super Bowl
Yeah,
this
now they're
year.
in the Super Bowl together, baby. I gotta tell you, Tony Romo, nothing but respect for the guy. I mean, of course, when he was a Cowboys fan, well, a Cowboys player, you, as a Cowboys fan, understand what it's like. You're either a Cowboys fan or you hate the Cowboys. And it's the same
The
with
same with the
me.
Patriots.
If you're a Patriots fan, you're all in.
See, and I don't understand that. I don't understand the hate that goes on with the Patriots. How are you gonna hate when somebody's winning? I don't understand that. That doesn't make any sense to me. Like a lot of people at work or just people in general that you talk to, they want the Patriots to lose. I'm like, why? Just enjoy that we have another night, a dynasty to just to look. I mean, they're a good team.
Dude, it's been this way. When it was the Cowboys in the 80s, the Steelers in the 70s, you had the 49ers in the 80s and 90s as well. Cowboys again.
People just love to hate
They
them for
just love
some
to hate,
reason.
and it's just because you're out there watching your team just stomp through the league. Like, I can't imagine like a Bills fan can even be in the same room as a Cowboys fan. And I think it's a little different. For a Patriots fan, because it's just been
I mean, it's been going on forever
forever.
now.
Like, if
I was
somebody,
looking at some stats, and they haven't missed the playoffs in like
2008.
2008 and 2003, I think.
Yeah. No.
Was it 2002?
We missed it. We lost once because of the Brady knee injury. Mm-hmm. So he was out for all 2008.
That's 2008.
We still went like 11-5.
Yes, yeah, exactly. That's when Matt Castle got his huge contract. Yeah, no?
And that's how we went to Kansas City. And then I think because the Steelers won, I think it was 2010. I can't really remember because it's been so long. Yeah. I know that we've been to 8 straight.
And 3 straight Super Bowls.
And 3 straight Super Bowls.
And this is what I have to say. Sorry. This is what I got to say about the Patriots. They say what you will, that they're always in the Super Bowl, in the playoffs, whatever. Their Super Bowl games are always exciting.
Dude.
Always exciting, except for the one that you talked about where they got, you know, destroyed by 20 points. Yeah. But every Super Bowl has been exciting. So I don't understand all the hate when the Patriots make it to the Super Bowl. It just doesn't make sense to me.
It's just we've flown close to the sun and our wings haven't burned off, okay? And the thing is, if someone tells you, well, you've only been a fan since Brady was quarterback, that's 17 years.
Yeah, exactly.
There's not a bandwagon that lasts that long.
Exactly.
Okay? Just talk to the Seahawks.
So now, talking about Brady, he came out and he said that he was going to play until he was 45. How do you feel about him playing until he's 45? Do you think he can do it? Do you think his body's going
to
hold up?
I mean, take a look. We've been to 3 Super Bowls back to back to back, and he's what? 41, 40, and 39? Right? And don't forget, there was a 10-year period where we didn't make it to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that was when he would be considered in his prime.
Mm-hmm.
So, do I want more Brady in his peak years, as far as I can tell? Hell yeah, I do.
As far as I can tell.
Because look, he had amazing lineups during the years where we didn't go to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was 2007, which was the most amazing year ever. But I mean, sorry, when I say 10 years, I mean, we did go to the Super Bowl, we just didn't get the championship.
You just didn't win it.
We just didn't win it. We had that first ballot Hall of Famer, Eli Manning. Impossible to beat. And the other thing is, they beat them in Arizona, which hurt my heart.
Yeah.
But the fact that Brady's doing it now at this age
But do you think he can go to 45?
Yeah. I mean, this is what's that. He goes until he either gets hurt or he hits whatever milestone that he's got in his mind. And I'm fine with that. I'm along for the ride.
Well, his milestone appears to be 45. I don't know that he can make it to 45, honestly, because look at him. Everyone says the cliff. I made an episode, I think it was last week, where I was talking about him saying that he was going to make it till 45. And I was like, the guy can't even run. When he's running, he looks like his knee's going to fall off.
Dude.
And then he's going to end up with no limbs, just a torso on the field.
Yeah, and that torso will still throw for 200 yards and 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter.
He'll find a way. He's Brady.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. As like, I think Brady physically feels like he can do it. And that cliff that a lot of players run into where there's a sharp decline.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who knows if he hits it, but he has earned his right to do whatever he wants.
Yeah, right? I can see that exactly. Him and Belichick both, I think they can do whatever the hell they want and they'll be fine. What about Gronk then? Because Gronk, do you feel differently about Gronk? Because he seems like he's closer to retirement than Brady. Well, and that's something to say, but he takes a lot more hits, really.
Well, the thing is, they shocked him, I think, in the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he actually got shopped to the Rams and to somewhere else, and he told them he would retire instead.
Really?
So they're like, okay, if we're not going to get any, because Bill, blessed be his name, I know there's lots of things that people talk about, like the way they trade people and draft stock and all that stuff. Bill was like, I think he's like, if I can't get something from him in terms of like trades or whatever,
mm-hmm.
fine, we'll just keep him on the roster.
I think they could get something for him, though. I think they probably just couldn't get what he wanted.
Well, this is the thing. This is something that I talk about with Sean a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we watch a game, you know what we're calling out? We're not saying that was a great catch by Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
We go key blocks.
Okay? Right.
So we're constantly like, did you see Devlin on that block? Did you see? And I'll tell you, they're talking about how crazy good the rushing is for the Patriots right now. And that's because Gronk's in there blocking his ass off.
That's another thing, too. So whenever I noticed that whenever Sony Michel goes in, It's a run all the way. Run,
usually, yeah.
It's a run. Yeah. I mean, and people still can't stop it. Yeah. They know what they're going to do, and he still goes for like 3-4 yards, and I don't understand it. It's just like, dude, he's in there.
Me, Michelle. Whew. When he first started coming through, and it was like week 5 or 6, and I'm going, why are they trying to treat him like an every down back? We have James White. Mm-hmm. James White, sweet feet himself. Why is he not in every play? And they were trying to set up Michelle as like this every down or first or second, third down back. And then week 7 happened and the blocking got in there and they started designing. And then Michelle showed him why we took him in the first round, which is just, he's got
was that. Was he a first rounder?
Yeah. He was our first pick. I'm not sure if it was the first round, but he was the first pick for the Patriots. I mean, it's basically the start of the second round every year anyways.
That's true. Yeah. It's basically a second rounder.
But watching that, and I got to say, our O-line coach, Scarnecchia, I mean, he deserves so much credit.
Yeah.
So much credit. Because, I mean, the reason that the running is so good is because our O-line is not only are they protecting Tom the Goat, but they're creating opportunities for Michelle and even White to get in there and carve out. Because we're not looking for that back like a Gurley who'll go like 50 yards. Mm-hmm. We want that 9 yards. So we can take more time off
the 9 yards is a lot of yards, maybe like 6 yards, yeah, 5 yards.
It doesn't matter. I mean, I know we're going to talk about the AFC Championship game, but we've got a great set of backs.
Yeah. Let's go into the AFC Championship game. Now, so going into the game, what were your feelings? How did you feel that? What did you think was? I mean, were you worried at all? Did you think there were weaknesses that the Chiefs could exploit?
Well, let me tell you, as a Patriots fan, for so long, there's just a baseline level of confidence now,
mm-hmm.
Okay? So it is never like, ooh, I'm worried about this team, or I'm worried that they'll be able to exploit this thing. It's always like, what are we going to do that they will take advantage of? At least that's how I see it.
Mm-hmm.
So I go in thinking the Patriots are going to win every game.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing too. When there was a lot of people saying that the Patriots were underdogs.
Well,
I didn't see it that way. I don't understand how you try can. To paint an narrative. I don't understand how you can take Brady and Belichick and say that they're underdogs.
It's great.
How?
I loved it.
Just because they're playing in Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes. This is his first year playing in the playoffs.
Dude, I'm with you. 100%. But I loved it.
Yeah, and it's funny because me and my wife are watching the game, right, and then it's the very beginning of the game. And we watched Tom Brady just, you know, walk right in the field. And she's like, he looks like it's just a normal day for him. And I'm like, baby, he, of course it's a normal day for him. He's, every freaking year of his career, he's been in this game.
In a row, he's played in January.
Yeah. Just like, yeah, of course. So, yeah, sorry. Going back to what were you thinking?
I thought that it was going to be a tough game because it's just like, everyone else, Kansas City can go off,
mm-hmm.
right? And they did it in this game.
And in that, people don't, like, I look back at that game and I don't realize that in the third quarter, even in the fourth quarter, I think the score was only like 14-17 or something like that. And the game ended 37-31, something like that.
Yeah, it was, we went into overtime. Yeah, so it was, we played the best first half I've seen us play in a long time. I mean, just look at the possession numbers.
The first half or the second?
Well, first half. Okay. We shut them out first half.
Oh, I see.
And if it hadn't been for the Brady interception,
mm-hmm.
we would have gone out 21-0. I mean, if you just look at how long the Patriots had the first quarter, there were 3 drives in the first quarter, right? Mm-hmm. 15 minutes, 3 drives.
Mm-hmm.
2 of them were Patriots. First drive, they took like 7 minutes off the clock and scored.
Mm-hmm.
Sony Michel, carving it all the way down. Kansas City comes out. We don't take them 3 and out. I think we had a penalty, but they maybe got 10 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. They got 1 first down, and then they were off the field.
That's right. It did initially. It did look like the Patriots were just going to run away with it.
And then we took them all the way back down to the 1 yard line.
Mm-hmm. And that's the interception.
And that's the interception. That happened right at the beginning of the second quarter. Mm-hmm. But if you look at it from football, I mean, Kansas City for the first quarter had the ball for maybe 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Patriots had it for the rest of it. And then we did it again. And coming out 14. Our defense was able to get to Mahomes, mm-hmm. actually tackle him.
He looked a little bit rattled. He
looked a little bit rattled. And the thing is, even though you're in that stadium, and it's your home stadium, and all the lights and the noise are for you, and all that stuff, I will always bet on the team that's been there before. Mm-hmm. So I was completely wiped out because I said Seahawks are going to, it's going to be Seahawks, New Orleans. And it's going to be one of those two teams that are going to be facing the Patriots. And I thought the AFC game was going to be Patriots Colts. But no, not at all.
That's almost exactly what I thought, except until the last game of this, when the Cowboys played the Giants and they played real good. I was like, oh, they can beat the Seahawks. Yeah, but before that, I thought the Seahawks were
going to. Oh, yeah. And they almost did it.
Yeah. It's crazy because it was a rebuilding year for them, too, supposedly.
That Seahawks game, just to, as an aside, whoever was there calling their plays wasn't letting Russell Wilson throw the ball.
No. Because
they're like, we got to run it. And the very second, they're like, okay, sling it. 75 yards and a touchdown in like 2 minutes.
When they started throwing the ball, I got a little bit nervous. And then I don't know why they didn't keep doing it. But I mean, whatever. It's in the past.
Yeah, it's in the past.
Cowboys won.
Yeah, so
Dak got his first win. I was happy about that.
So going into the AFC, I did feel that it was going to be challenging. Mm-hmm. Because again, the Patriots have this weird thing where sometimes they'll have like the number two defense or the mm-hmm. number one defense and stuff. It's real easy sometimes to score a ton of points.
On them. Yeah, it is.
And I know this is...
I don't think they had that great of a defense this year, honestly.
I mean, I'll tell you this. Our sacks are way off.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, 2 years prior and the year before, we couldn't get the quarterback at all.
Okay.
Right? It was real bad. I mean, I've always been like, I wish we'd kept Chandler Jones. Because mm-hmm. I think we would have been more competitive defensively. Because Chandler Jones goes and signs with the Cardinals and has been their best player. Mm-hmm. For the entire time he's there. And that happens. Jamie Collins, when he got traded as well, was finally getting in there. But, again, it's because we had Brady on the offense, you can take more risks mm-hmm. on the defense. And this year, the stuff we were throwing at Kansas City, they couldn't block it. You had the rush. They'd have like a delayed rush where Van Noy would come in and then come around and shoot through another gap, right?
They're doing stunts.
And doing stunts and all this crazy. And I mean, I'm not the best when it comes to like football terminology mm-hmm. and what's going on, but I'm sitting there going, man. And some of those guys were getting muscled off their position. And I thought, that's great. That's what we needed to do. Going in the AFC game, Jamin Jones game, I was like worried about the one thing that can stop the Patriots, and that's getting Brady off the spot.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Kansas City's defense was one of the best pass rushers in the league. They had a lot of sacks, and they had a lot of postseason sacks, too. So mm-hmm. I was worried. And then Brady got hurried one time.
Well, and then, so then the game is pretty much...
at the half, I'm feeling real good.
Here, hold on. Okay, so coming out of the half, you guys were up 14-0.
Yeah, and we knew adjustments were coming. And they're adjusting. We knew they were going to get the ball.
And even into the fourth quarter, the game was only 17-14, and with 8 minutes and 7 seconds left, and that's when Brady throws the interception, and I think that's one of the plays that allows the Chiefs to kind of come back a little bit. And then the game is 24-28. So let's just go into your thoughts about the interception that happened, right? So like, walk me through
the one off of Gronk,
so the one where there was 56 seconds left. So walk me through your thoughts. So you guys are down 24-28.
We're driving.
Yeah, there's 56 seconds left. Brady throws an interception. I think it bounced off of Hogan. Actually,
no, it goes off of Gronk's hands.
Oh, well, it goes off of Gronk's hands. And it gets picked up. But you see a flag. What are you thinking,
dude? I went as soon as it happened. Of course, in the moment, I'm like, no, we're lost, right?
Yeah.
And I saw the flag. And then after the fact, I saw all the tape. And I'm sorry, that throw he made to Gronk, Brady already knew the flag was out. Because you look at it, as soon as they hike the ball, the line judge throws a flag.
Mm-hmm.
So Brady already knew the flag was on the ground. At least I'm assuming he knew. So when he threw that ball to Gronk, if you'll notice, when the play, after the play and the whistles were blown and stuff, you didn't see the offense move at all. So the offense didn't move. They didn't make a move to get off the field or anything like that because Brady already knew. Right? See, and that's Brady knew that D Ford was off and hiked the ball. It's like when Brady sees 12 men on the field.
And
he just hikes it.
It's like Rodgers. Rodgers does that too all the time. That's one of the things I hate
about
Rodgers.
So I think Brady, that was an interception, yes, but I think it's because Brady knew
he was taking a chance, do you think?
I think he knew he had a free play.
So
he threw a lazy pass.
This is the thing I don't understand about D Ford lining up in the neutral zone. How? What? So he lost the game for the Chiefs in that play because...
Well, there were a lot of calls in that game, but yeah.
No, I'll talk a little bit about another one that I have in my head right now. But how are you going to just look to the side?
That when you see him in the film, he is so... He's looking at the ball because you're supposed to look at the ball when you're on...
Yeah.
But he is so far forward that he's like turned. So he's looking at the ball. So I do not know how... And so part of me is like, it's the moment, man. And don't forget that even though people talk about crowd noise and how it affects the offense, defense has got to make calls too.
That's not a call on anything, though. That's just lining up in the right place. And apparently he did it in the Pro Bowl too.
So, I mean, if he did it in the Pro Bowl, yeah. I'll tell you this. There's a good chance that after the Super Bowl, they're going to do a Patriots do your job 3. And we're going to learn that the Patriots knew about D Ford not lining up correctly 6 months ago. And that they planned for all this stuff. I mean, I wouldn't put it past them.
Wouldn't put it past Bill Belichick.
But I think it's just D Ford. I mean, I'm not sure how old he is. He's been in the league for a little while, right?
Ford? I'm not sure, honestly.
I think it's one of those things where you're in the moment. I mean, you want to talk about a moment? Why the hell did Julian Edelman say, fair catch, don't touch the ball, and then make the play on it?
Oh, dude, that was so close. Also, he was so close at touching that. He didn't touch it. He didn't touch it, but it was so close.
There was one angle where it made it look like it was his thumb, but if you only saw that angle, yeah. But when you see all three,
he didn't touch it.
And so that's what I'm saying. Julian Edelman is a veteran player. I love him to death.
Dude, he's tough.
And he's tough. He's made a gristle and steel, okay?
It's that beard.
Well, I mean, yeah, 100%. I am in agreement
with
that.
His beard absorbs all the hits.
Oh, yeah. And but he made a play on the ball after that. And you're sitting there going, you've been in this league for how many years? You called, you did it. Why did you still make a play? And it's just in the moment.
I think maybe he just figured, I can pick it up and run.
And I think D Ford was like,
I'm lined up. But footballs are weird. Footballs balance weird. Yeah. So there's another call that I have in my head, too. You should agree that the roughing the passer call on Brady was BS.
I'll tell you this. The guy that threw the flag.
Yeah, they were lucky that there was actual pass interference, and that was actual pass interference on that same play because that was not roughing the passer.
Roughing the passer. Well, what happened was, from what I can read about, the guy who threw the flag was behind Brady.
Yeah, but you can't assume as a referee.
This game had tons of crazy calls in it, man. I'm not here to tell you that. I mean, people will argue that the one-handed Hogan grab wasn't a catch. And then people will argue the Hogan grab where he was on, when he got it was a catch, but it wasn't called. Both those calls were called. And I got to tell you, it was a tough officiating game. But from where that guy was standing, he was behind Brady. He sees the guy do this.
Nah.
And he sees Brady's head go like this. And I think he just... instinct.
Nope.
Just threw the flag. And I
that's a BS call. That's a I'm Tom Brady. I'm a Tom Brady and you need to throw that flag. And that's not him deciding that. That's the referee having that in his mind. Oh, this is Tom Brady. They can't touch his face.
I mean, I'll tell you.
He's 41 years old. Yeah. If they touch him, his head might fall off.
If you see the way that tackle happened from behind, you can understand why people that hit him in the face.
Right. But you can't.
From the front. But the thing is, that's not my fault.
It's not
the team's fault.
So, but I'm saying they were lucky that there was a pass interference on that because otherwise,
but then it would have
been another fiasco.
The problem is, why are there penalties that can't be challenged?
Yeah, I think that there should be. Look, referees are always going to make mistakes.
Yeah.
And even if and I've said it in another episode too. Even if we institute or if they institute a challenge like similar to challenging any kind of play right now, but you only get two challenges. The whole game, one in the first half, one in the second half per team. automatically that's going to slow down the game a lot. We already have a ton of commercials, but it'd be better to get the right call. But still, even with technology, it's still up to the person looking at the making the final decision, which is the referee, and he's human.
Yeah, and I am. Yeah, a lot of people have made that point. It's that
it happens in soccer all the time.
All the time, and it's one of those things where it's like, because the way American football is played, with the clock being such a huge part of it, I feel like it should be like intramural rules, where you have a 20-minute period, say, and the first 15 minutes, it's kind of just you play your game, but within the last 5 minutes. Like, that's where the important, like, you can make timeouts, you can do all that stuff. So maybe in the NFL, when you're down to, like, the last 3 minutes, you can just be like, that's a time where we're going to be reviewing everything.
Yeah.
Because it's so important
to get it right. Time period.
Like, because if you miss a PI call, but there's 10 minutes left in the second, and someone's up 14-0, I mean, the amount of pass interference that wasn't called on Kansas City, I mean...
I swear,
I thought Gronk was out there getting measured for an Eric Berry coat, because the dude was literally wearing him. It was like on him like a wet blanket, and there were no flags for that in all the game.
Yeah, now, sometimes they let him play a little bit too much.
Yeah, and part of me is like, they've called a lot on J.C. Jackson, and part of me is like, well, they're not calling on anybody else. But also, I'm like, he's covering Travis Kelce. Dude, you only got 3 penalties covering that monster? Congratulations.
All right, so let's just finish your thoughts on the AFC game. Let's just take it from where there's 39 seconds left and 31-28, Chiefs are down. Yeah. Did you think?
Yeah, I knew.
Did you automatically knew it was going to happen, that they were going to score?
Yeah, I knew they were going to get down there, because I've seen it before. I've seen it in the Super Bowl.
But it was a... No. This was the Chiefs. Chiefs were down 28-31, and they came back.
I knew the Chiefs were going to get down and kick a field goal, and we were going to go to overtime. Really? I knew it in my soul, because...
Because of Patrick Mahomes?
Well, also Patrick Mahomes. You saw what happened whenever they didn't get to him, put at least a hand on him. He either threw sidearm and got past the guy rushing him, or... they were able to create separation. He was able to just toss it up.
Yeah, the guy is just—he has a great arm.
I mean, if you look at it, when Tyreek Hill had one catch, but it was for 42 yards, and that was the problem with that. I think if they still had Kareem Hunt in the game, we probably would have lost that game, because their running back that filled in did all right. I mean, he had a ton of scores. Mm-hmm. We were not covering him out of the backfield at all. When he just did a swift, like a hitch, it was—it killed me. But I think if they had, that was all passing. If they had that between the tackles running that Kareem Hunt could have done, I think it would have been much different. Because then you also, I think Kareem Hunt is a better blocker. Because that's what it was all about. That game was, we blocked their pass rush, and they didn't block ours.
So then I'm assuming when you guys win the coin toss, you just know.
I was like the defense, man. I unlaced my boots. I just said,
I knew that was going to happen, so... Yeah. That was a really good win. That was actually one of the better games that I saw this whole season. It was so good.
3 third and tens converted.
Yeah, it was.
And I'll tell you this. If you look at the numbers, you'd think if we had had, for the amount of time we had the ball versus the amount of time they had the ball, we should have been up by 50 points, right? Which goes to show how explosive their offense is. But we had like...
But it also shows that the Patriots can keep up.
Yeah, and we had like 13 of 16... third down conversions, which goes to show you that's why we were able to shut them out in the first half, because they only had the ball for like 8 minutes.
All right, let's take a break for a second so that the sponsor segment can roll, and then we'll start up with let's see, the biggest weakness that you see in the Patriots. All right, so now let's get started with, what do you think the biggest weakness is in the Patriots that could possibly lose them the game?
Weakness in the Patriots?
Yes.
Have you been paying attention to football for the last 17 years?
They got
to... Ain't no weakness.
There's that Boston
accent.
Ain't no
shame in the game.
There's got to be something that they're not good at. What do you think that they're not good at?
Well, it changes every year. And I'm wondering if you're asking me in overall terms or in the Super Bowl.
In just anything that could cause them... that cost them the game against the against the Rams, knowing that they have C.J. Anderson and Todd Gurley on the offense, and then that they have real good players on the defense too. I mean, that's what they did this offseason. They got a bunch of They got a bunch of studs on the defense.
Yeah, and they paid them. This is a team. That's what's crazy about the Super Bowl is you're going up against a team that doesn't pay. We don't pay, Patriots don't pay people. I mean, the last person who got a real big payout was Gilmore. And I mean,
Is he still there? He's gone, isn't he?
Steph Gilmore? Yeah, he's our best CB.
What?
Hell yeah.
I guess. Man,
you need to.
I just learned something.
Fake fan. You know, at one point, Nate Solder, our old left tackle, was the highest paid Patriot, followed by number two being Devin McCourty, number three, Tom Brady. Right? So you got all these quarterbacks out here taking $86 million guaranteed over 3 years and all that stuff. And Brady's all about winning, son. It's all about the team. Now, that doesn't mean that his contract isn't structured in a way that he does get paid in bigger chunks throughout the year or throughout the years. But Brady has been able to, well, Belichick's been understood how the salary cap was going to increase by so much, right? I mean, just look, the whole reason a lot of those teams moved to Los Angeles and stuff is because moving into that market increases your overall valuable, the team being valuable, which increases the salary cap for everyone.
Right? Well, okay, but let's go back to the weaknesses.
Anyways, yeah, weaknesses. Well, I mean, if you look at the games we lose, right, and you can look at the games that we've lost this season, it's really about can you get to Tom Brady? Because getting Tom off the spot is the best way to...
Because he's not mobile at all.
He's not mobile. Well, you know he's going to be there. That's the thing. My favorite thing that any announcer says is when they say the pocket is sealed. Because then I know Brady's got his bubble of protection and he's going to make the throw. Now, Brady has combated his lack of mobility with the fact that he's one of the fastest passers in the league, which is one of the reasons why they call us a dink and dunk team. Because Brady's a master of the check down, man. First option's not there. Check down, bam, 4, 6, 7 yards. Sometimes our players, like Edelman, when he catches the ball, you're like, you better send five guys. Because if you don't, he's going to go 15 yards.
It's funny because Tom Brady is a check down guy. And that's one of the knocks that they have on Prescott, which is, I get it sometimes. But the difference is sometimes Dak throws behind, so I can see why people don't like that. I sometimes am a critic of that, but I mean it's funny because here we have one of the best quarterbacks to ever do it, who checks down, and he's one of the best ever, and he's going for his 6-3.
Yeah, and it's because he not only does he check down, but he checks down fast,
and he gives the receiver opportunity to then go
right. And don't forget, people are always reading his eyes. And if he's checking down, he's sometimes making people... the check down is where he wants to go. But he'll make people miss or change coverages just by doing that and then checking down. So, and don't forget that the blocking... The key to the Patriots thing is that Tom Brady throws it 1 or 2 yards. But the blocking is so good that by all of the players... I mean, if you watch any Patriots game, as soon as the ball comes out and the receivers know that it's in the thing, I mean, Edelman throws blocks. Hogan throws blocks.
Yeah, they all throw blocks.
Dorsett throws blocks. And I think we've got one of the best, when it comes to our running game, Devlin is one of the best fullbacks in the league. That's why he's been on the team for so long. Because LeGarrette Blount, when he had his career-setting touchdown, he did it just by following Devlin into the end zone. So I think that Brady has made up for his lack of mobility in the pocket by getting rid of the ball fast. And so we've engineered our offensive schemes around the fact that the check down is coming.
So basically you're saying that for the Rams to win, their only chance is for them to,
get to Brady.
So it's basically on whether they can push that line of scrimmage back and get to him.
Yeah, but the thing is, you're not really going to get... What you need to do is, because even if you get to him, but he's already on the check down, it may just throw the ball away.
Right.
So for the Rams, they got to cover the 3 to 5 yards past the line of scrimmage, because that's where the Patriots will gash you. Right? If you can stop our, because that's what will happen, is we'll get 5 yards and then 2 yards. And they're looking at 3rd-and-1 and 3rd-and-2. And if you can seal up the run.
But then you also got to remember, though, they also have Aaron Donald.
Yeah, well, that's
the Aaron thing. Donald can move.
He can move.
He gets into the backfield. Like, as soon as the ball gets snapped, yeah. He's in the backfield.
The number of times.
If he can do that and he can bring down Brady.
The fact that he's got so many sacks from the interior is insane.
Exactly.
A lot of
times, almost broke the record this
year. Yeah, well, those sack numbers usually come from the edge because the quarterback gets sacked and he doesn't see the guy coming. Mm-hmm. But you see Aaron Donald.
Well, because usually the guys on the edge are so fast turning that corner that they get to the quarterback. But from the inside, it's crazy.
Yeah. So you've got 300-pound guys in the way.
Mm-hmm. And this guy is not only quick, he's also strong enough to push them back.
And don't forget, they got Suh. And Suh's played against Tom Brady for a majority of his career when he was in Miami.
Well, he was in Miami, but I think he also started at the Lions first and then went to Miami.
Maybe not the majority of his career, but he has played a lot of games. And look, when we play, the Patriots have a problem with never getting their season going great. We always start off 2-2 or 2-3, and Dolphins have done that. They've embarrassed us.
So if they get to Brady, they have a chance. Right. And knowing that the Rams have two really, really good
pass rusher
interior linemen.
Right.
In Donald and Sue. And Sue really has only turned it on in the playoffs. I don't think he did much in the regular season, but in the playoffs, he's been a monster. And how do you feel about your offensive line then? Do you think they can hold up?
This is the thing. Look at the last two games. We had, 90 plays? Tom Brady's been hurried 3 times, sacked 0 times.
Yeah, but who have they faced? Well, I don't really consider the Chiefs to
have... That's what people say, but, I mean, the Chiefs had one of the best pass rush in the league before going into the game against us.
So, but not interior.
Well, not
if you can push the line. If you can push that pocket forward.
So what do I think happens? I think that that's what they're going to focus on. The interior linemen will do.
And I'm not saying that the Chiefs are going to win because I actually bet somebody that the Patriots are going to win by 10 or more.
Rams? Yeah.
That the Rams are going to win by 10 or more. No, that the Patriots are going to win by 20 or more.
By 10 or more. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, for me, it's. This is the thing the Patriots do. They take away your best players. They take them away.
Exactly.
And they make, on offense, they make you win with your third wide receiver, who on Kansas City was, who's that guy? What's his name?
Tyreek Hill?
No, the third wide receiver they picked up.
Conley?
Used to play for Buffalo.
Sammy Watkins?
Watkins. Watkins had some really good plays. But that's who they had to rely on because Tyreek Hill wasn't getting nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And Kelsey, other than the touchdown, didn't do jack, right? Well, and that wasn't Kelsey's fault, except for the one he dropped. It was really because Mahomes couldn't throw it to him. But we're going to do that. We're going to see. And a lot of people focus on what the Patriots take away from you on offense. But defensively, I think what they're going to do is they're just going to scheme around making Suh and Donald not as good as they normally are. Right,
yeah.
And they're going to make the edge rushers be the guys, which means that I think what you're going to see is you're going to see a lot of weird pocket formations.
Well, I think there's going to be a lot of double teaming on Donald, but that leaves the other guys open.
Exactly, and you got to let that's the thing.
And you got to have your back.
They've had their entire season with Donald smacking the interior.
But I believe
imagine he's out.
I believe in Belichick be able to figure something out because even if they go down in the half and they're like either down by 7 or up by 7 or tight or whatever, Belichick is going to make his halftime adjustments and he's going to come out and it's going to be an entirely different game. Now I know Sean McVay is on the other side of the field and he's supposed to be some kind of genius. Wonder boy, you know, some kind of genius.
I mean, how many Super Bowls have you coached at 33?
I mean, okay, I get that. Yeah. But Bill Belichick has won.
He's a genius. It's one of those things.
And it's funny because Sean McVay is the offensive genius and Bill Belichick is a defensive genius.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see them both, try their best, I guess, scheming around whatever they know how to do because they're basically going to go head to head.
Do you know the other weakness that I see, and this is being a Patriots fan is something that I get to say unironically, we have a Super Bowl defense weakness. Okay? Whenever we get into the Super Bowl, now, I know in our epic comeback against Atlanta, it was based on a strip sack. But we were getting destroyed on defense up until that point. And that's our big problem. happened in the Eagles. We give too many points in the first half or second half. There's too many points given up on defense. And we rely on our offense to get us through, and Brady's done it, right?
That's true, yeah.
But that is a weakness that I hope we can seal up against Goff.
Yeah, because
that we don't want – I don't want that – it'd be great to be going into a half where the lead hasn't changed a whole bunch. Like, you were talking about how exciting the Super Bowls are. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, if we go into this game and we win 40-8, I will be so happy.
And everybody else will be so angry.
And we'll be so – well, that will also feed – like, I'll be like Goku. I'll just go to – I'll get to the next Super Saiyan. Feeding on the hate. But I would be fine with that because I got to tell you, man, just turned 36.
Yeah, right? But 40-8, you got to stop.
My freaking heart can't take this.
40-8, you would have to stop C.J. Anderson and Todd Gurley. C.J. Anderson and Todd Gurley ran for over 100 yards, both of them against the Cowboys, who were supposed to have, I thought, one of the better defenses in the playoffs. And those guys just ran wild all over the place.
Yeah, I mean,
do you think they can stop him? How can they stop him?
Well, I mean, I think the problem with your Cowboys was that you had schemed for Gurley, right? And you did what a lot of people did, which was dismiss Anderson as an option. Like, you knew Anderson was a straight downhill runner, but a lot of your defensive plays were designed around Vandernick.
I think what happened was the defensive tackles just couldn't hold up. There was holes all over the place. Yeah, yeah. I mean, those holes were huge for the Rams.
And I mean, their O-line did a really good job against you, and your DBs just didn't plug. I think you were too afraid of the throw and allowed for, because the problem.
I don't think that at all. I think they tried to stop the run, but they just couldn't.
I mean, C.J. Anderson is like 400 pounds.
Yeah, but the guy is so quick.
Once he got rolling,
there was no way to stop him.
What are you gonna do? You gotta stand there and try to push against it. Yeah. And I mean, for me, there's been a little drama because Gurley. The reason Anderson got as much usage as he did is because Gurley's been hurt.
He was hurt,
right? And we're still not 100% sure. But the question is, if Gurley's at 85-90%. And you're playing in the Super Bowl against the evil empire, the New England Patriots. Okay? Don't forget, this game's got historical significance, which is another thing that makes me worried. Because we beat the Eagles back when Brady was young. And they came back and beat us in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're facing the Rams, which started the whole thing in 2001. And now we're back. And it's just like, these historical moments tend to make people go to that next level. Because again, this is the third Super Bowl in a row for the Patriots. Do I think they're going to be any less competitive? No. But I got to tell you, eventually, no matter how excited you are about your job, the commute and everything, you get stuck in your ways. And I have a Patriots team that's used to going to the Super Bowl. So, Gurley, if he's not 100%, but is close, how do you not play your feature back?
I think they're going to use both of them.
Yeah, I think they'll use both of them, and then it'll be a hot hand situation. But Gurley's a lot easier to scheme against. Anderson. Because Anderson's a downhill runner. And I'll tell you this, we've got...
He's pretty good out of the backfield with a catch, though, too. So occasionally, he's not great. He's not Gurley. He's all right.
But this is the thing. The Patriots actually have experience with this type of thing. Because we play the Steelers. Right, and the Steelers had Le'Veon Bell and D'Angelo Williams. Right, Le'Veon Bell is a crazy runner. Right, but he got hurt in a game, and D'Angelo Williams came in. And guess what? He's almost exactly the same as C.J. Anderson.
So then, what are you worried about, if anything?
I'm worried about. See, I think it's going to come down to what Jared Goff does.
Mm-hmm.
Right, things I'm worried about is that deep ball. Because when we play the Chargers, their very first touchdown was Keenan Allen burning Stephon Gilmore.
Keenan Allen is huge, and then
over here you got completely uncovered.
Over here you got Brandon Cooks. You got
Robert Woods.
Robert Woods.
But I think Robert Woods is going to get taken out.
I think the fact that Cooper Kupp isn't available is huge.
Huge. But I would expect them to put Gurley in that role.
Mm.
Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they're both healthy. That they put both of them in the backfield.
I think they're going to use both of them.
And as a defense, and imagine you've got C.J. Anderson and Gurley lined up two behind Goff,
mm-hmm.
right? As a defense, you don't know
who's going to get the ball.
Who's going to get the ball? Is Gurley going to come out the backfield to pass?
Are they going to go
up the thing? Are they going to do some sort of fake so that they play a lot of play action? Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. This is going to be the play action Super Bowl
mm-hmm.
because the number one team to employ play action this year, the Rams. You know who the number two team is? The Patriots. It's going to be play action all day, right?
So let's just finish off the podcast now. Give me your prediction. Who's going to win and why?
Well, of course.
And give me a score, too.
Yeah. Patriots are going to win. I think they're going to win by 10, like you said. Like you said, 31-21.
31-21?
Yeah. And what I'm hoping is that it is a consistent score. So it's not we're up by 20 and they've got 0 points or anything like that. What I think is going to happen is we're going to come out leading in the half and then we're going to trade touchdowns. And then after that, we're going to get a turnover of some sort and go up to 31. And then that'll be on the game. Because when it comes to like drives, last minute drives or that, I don't think Goff's got it. I mean, Goff's a good quarterback, don't get me wrong, but I don't think I don't think he's been tested through the season in being behind and having to put the team on his back.
He's a good quarterback. What I noticed whenever I was watching the game against the Cowboys is that he also overthrows our receivers.
And
he also has bad throws.
Oh, yeah. And that is the final thing that I'm worried about the Patriots is that this year it seems like it's taking Brady a while to warm up.
Mm.
He's been throwing passes to open receivers that just are behind him or anything like that. So I'm hoping he comes out firing because, I mean, when we got into overtime against Kansas City,
it was fun.
That was Psycho Tom. It was like an NBA Jam when you hit so many three-pointers that the ball was on fire and it burned up the net. I swear when he was holding the football, it was turning orange. It was flames, son. Right? But we can't do that against the Rams. We can't have Tom being just a second behind. He needs to heat up because with that pass rush, if he's not hot in the beginning, they're not going to give him a chance. But you know the prop bet I'm doing?
Mm.
Brady, 25 rushing yards. 25. You heard it here first.
25 rushing yards?
25 rushing
no
yards.
No way it
Tom
has.
Brady, his Super
leg,
Bowl.
His leg is going to fall off before he gets to 10.
25 yards rushing at the end of this game. By the way, I was in Foxborough against the Vikings when he rushed for 1,000 yards. He got his 1,000th yard.
1,000 yards?
Yeah,
what do you
career.
Mean? Oh, for his career.
Yeah, so he hit 1,000 yards. Because because he keeps losing yards. Because we get into victory formation so often that he's losing 3 yards each time.
Yeah.
Right? So it kept bouncing between. But in the game against the Vikings, he had like a 12-yard game or a 20-yard game. Gotta tell you, it felt like God came down and touched me on the nose, boy.
Yeah, I bet.
I was so happy.
So 31-21 is your score?
31-21 is the score, and I'm hoping the Rams do most of their scoring in the fourth because we're already up 31.
Because the game's already done.
Yeah.
I think they're going to win by 10, too. I hope they win by 10 because that's going to give me free lunch. So
hell yeah. I mean, it's always nice when your motivation isn't beat the Patriots because they're the Patriots, but your motivation is, well, I bet money on this.
Well, I have lunch riding on this, so I'm pretty confident I'm going to get it. I also think, I think they're going to win like 30-20. Hmm. Very similar situation to you because... I mean, I think the Patriots are just gonna. I'll go out there and do Patriot things, and everything's gonna be normal in the world. And then once Brady retires, then
in four years from now,
then he'll be the greatest to ever have done it up to then.
Yeah, and I gotta tell you,
Dak is the greatest to do it after that.
It's gonna be interesting because apparently Greg Zuerlein can hit a field goal from 60 yards out.
Supposedly, so we'll see.
So who knows? They might get 9 points in the first half because he's kicked a 57, a 56, and a 51.
Yeah. All right, so that was fun. That was Alexander Morris giving us his take on what's going to happen for this weekend. If you have any questions, comments, send them to me at thedrivecowboysaddict@gmail.com. And I can't wait to see what you guys think. See you next time.